Go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Resurrection Sunday. It's really the... It's the turning point of everything, I think. God wins, devil loses, and he knows he's lost. You know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the devil really thought he won. And maybe he wasn't so sure. You know, from just watching. But you got to remember the disciples, they just disappeared. They went under the woodwork. They were hiding behind closed doors. They didn't expect him. I mean, Mary goes back to the tomb, but she goes back to the tomb to prepare his body so that it's for burial. I mean, nobody believed he was getting up. They didn't understand it. They didn't get it. Yeah, and I'm not knocking them. They just didn't understand. And I think a lot of the reason why they didn't understand is because God didn't open their understanding to know. He's the only one that can. You know, and she goes back there because she loves him. She wants to prepare his body and, you know, sees the angel and, He's not here. He is risen. And she runs back and tells the other guys, and they don't believe her. And then Peter gets up and runs to the place to see what's going on. And again, you know, I think the devil thought he had won, and then all of a sudden, God got the Lord Jesus Christ up from the dead to die no more. He died for us. He was raised for us. He paid the price for our sins, and he was resurrected, and we identify with him. He's our Lord, right? We identify with him. And in that identification, when he suffered, we suffered. I didn't feel a thing, but he suffered for me. Therefore, I was the one who suffered. He was buried, I was buried. He was raised, therefore, I will be raised. You know, to tell the world that. Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection, and I want to go through sections of it. But why is the resurrection so important? I guess that's what the title of this teaching would be today. In Corinthians 15, and starting in verse 12, we'll start in 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And this is the first century. They get the same problem you and I do, and the rest of this world has. People don't believe the scripture, and they don't believe the testimony of the gospel. You know, we're creatures that we want to see, taste, touch. I want to witness this thing. Well, show me people. Not so much trust and faith. Nobody's been different for all the centuries. And even today, if I understand it correctly, and I don't mean to be really super critical, most of the preachers or a good majority of the people who stand in the pulpit don't believe in a literal resurrection. According to the survey of a clergy magazine that takes a poll on this stuff. It's figurative, it's this, it's that, but it's not literal. You know, there's only a remnant of people who really believe the Bible, the words that are in the Bible. You and I happen to be among them. And we just got to keep asking God, open our eyes, open our understanding, help me so that when I have an opportunity, like 1 Peter says, that I'm ready to give an answer to every man that asks me of the hope that's within me. And I can do this with meekness and fear. But how say some among you that there's no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if the Messiah be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They're forever gone. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. There's no point to Christianity. There's no point to anything without the resurrection. You know, now we can all live a nice life and have Jesus in our heart, but if there's no resurrection, it's all for vain. It's all for nothing. That's what the argument is here. And I want you to understand this. This has always been about life and death. The whole redemption of mankind is life or death, eternally. We get to walk in this life, we believe, we stay faithful, and we go through the trials, the tribulations, all the rest of it that we go through, and some, you know, good times. We get to enjoy, but we go through all of this as a testing ground for the eternal life and the rewards for our having been faithful and believed and done what we're supposed to do when he comes back. It's all about eternity. I mean, the perspective of the scriptures is that this life is as grass. Grows, withers. You know? That's the perspective of the scriptures. It's appointed unto men once to die, but then the judgment, the resurrection. Some to life eternal, some not so much. You know, it's been if there is no resurrection, it's all for nothing. It is the most important thing to recognize the power, the purpose, and it puts in perspective what it is that we live for, and that's the hope to come. Go to Romans chapter 6. And in verse 23, it says, but now being made free from sin. You all there? Romans 6, 30, 23. Excuse me. 23, yeah. Verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that's God's gift, is eternal life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you're in sin, if you don't repent, you don't confess Jesus is Lord, you don't believe in the gospel, then what do you got? You're in your sin. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, then we are yet in our sin. Then what you got is a death. But the grace of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the one who accomplished it all for us. See, again, I said before, the whole thing is about life and death. Orthodox Christianity teaches basically that the person has a soul, and that soul is eternal. All right? It's not what the Bible teaches, but this is what most Orthodox Christian faiths believe. They believe that an individual has a soul and that that soul is eternal. And either, in fact, this all came up on my mind because the Pope was accused of saying something, which he didn't say probably. I mean, it's just more fake news on, you know, with these guys that want their own agenda. But the point is, they believe, and I was taught when I was a kid, that the soul is eternal. Okay? Again, I can't find it in the scriptures, and I'm going to go through a little bit of this. And that at the end of life, you either go to heaven or you go to a burning, fiery hell. Okay? Depending upon what you believed. But that the soul is eternal. And then later on sometime, then God has a resurrection of the body and he joins it back to your soul. That's essentially, I'm not trying to, it's what a great number of people believe. It comes out of Greek philosophy, it comes a lot of different places. But that's the difference between what, now I'm going to share with you what the Bible says about it, all right? Because man doesn't have a soul that's eternal. We're not eternal beings to start with. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 30. This is the short version. When God created everything, he says exactly what he did and how he did it and why he did it. In verse 30, it says, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, where there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it is so. That word life is the word nephesh. It's the word soul. If, you have life, you have nephesh. It says to the whales and to every, let's go back just a touch. Verse 21, "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth in the waters and brought forth abundantly after their kind. And the winged fowls after their kind, and God said that it was good. And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning of the sixth day, and God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creatures of its kind, and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast after its kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God created man. The word nephesh, life, means, is this word for soul. You are alive. You are alive, nephesh. You breathe. Then there is a dead nephesh, nephesh kai. You're no longer alive. That's the word. And I, like I said, it's the short version I got to give you here. But this is the word for soul, S-O-U-L. People have taken that so that the animals, they have life. Man, he has life. God breathed into him. All right? The breath of life, the breath of soul. And they take that as it being eternal. Do you follow me? We're not. Go to Ecclesiastes. That soul is breath life. That is life itself. Every individual that is around that breathes has got life. And when you stop breathing, you don't have life. You are nephesh kai. Without it. In Ecclesiastes, losing Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3. In verse 19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth the beast, even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, they have all one nephesh. So that a man has no preeminence above the beast, for all is vanity. Everybody's got man and beast, like God created them in the beginning, all have the same breath, nephesh, life. Okay, go to Psalm. I believe it's Psalm. I'm going to turn my page. Yeah, Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returns to his earth. In the very day his thoughts perish. When his breath goes forth, when he's done breathing, he goes back to the earth, back to dust. His thoughts perish. There's no consciousness. Again, this is the difference between Orthodox Christianity and what Scripture teaches. Orthodox Christianity says your soul is eternal, either to eternal life with God or eternal damnation. Scripture says your soul is your life is your breath. There's nothing eternal. It's called we are mortal. See, not immortal. We are mortal individuals. We desperately need immortality. But you're not automatically, you know, again, this is the big difference between believing what Scripture teaches and what the general view of Christianity is. Go to Psalm 13. And you have to choose. You and I, each and every one of us, always have to choose to study, to ask the questions, to look at what does the scripture teach compared to everybody else. You got to do that with me, I hope and pray, because you don't want to just chew and swallow everything I say. But you want, you know, your entire life is in your control, not mine, and not any other person who teaches. Your entire existence for eternity is based upon whether you believe the truth of what God says or something else. And somebody says, well, this is what I believe, and we've always believed this. We believe this for 2,000 years. Doesn't mean that you ought to just take it. You ought to look for yourself. There's a lot at stake. Life and death. See, this is the most, I don't know why, but most people, there's a Bible in every bookstore in forever. They're not that expensive. You can get really cheap copies. Gideons give them away. And yet people don't choose to look for themselves. How lazy can you get? You can get so lazy, you are going to miss eternity. Unless you take responsibility for yourself. Now, this ain't easy. I've been doing this for 44 years. It ain't easy, but it ain't. If I can do it, I'm telling you, anybody could do it. I didn't even know how to read it when I first started. Okay? She's the one taught me how to read. But I can listen. So you take responsibility. You want to be, you know, it says in God, help me. It irks me how lazy people are. It says in, you know, the sluggard in the Proverbs, the sluggard, a little folding of the hands, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands. It says, so will your poverty be. It says that the sluggard is so lazy that he will not lift his hand to his mouth to feed himself. Drop dead then. That's really what it comes. That's my thought about people who are that lazy. If you are that lazy, and this is written in here to shame people. I don't feel bad about saying that. It's written here to shame them. You get what you deserve. We've been given the gift of the word, the book. We've been given this. It's all put together. And yet, people choose not to read it. So you trust somebody else with your eternity. Why don't you give me your bank account number? You can trust me. How many of you would be that stupid to do that? I mean, maybe when we were kids, when Soupy Sales said, go to get your mommy's credit card and send me the numbers. Most of you ain't old enough to remember that. There was a comedian, little kids comedian, said, hey kids, go to your mommy's pocketbook, get her little plastic credit card, and call Uncle Soupy, give me the numbers. Thousands, thousands, thousands called. Trust me. We're New Yorkers, right? Most of us. When somebody says, trust me, I had to. You don't put your eternal life or your bank account numbers in somebody else's hand. You read this for yourself. Jesus died for it. God raised them from the dead. At least we can read it for ourselves and ask for God to open our understanding. I told you to go where? Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's what death is sleep. It's just like sleep, except there's no remembrance, there's no dreams, there's no nothing. The person is considered asleep. Ecclesiastes 18. Verse 4. Oh, not Ecclesiastes. Ezekiel. Wrong book. It's the right church, but it was the wrong pew. Ezekiel 18. Verse 4. God says here, behold, all souls, all nephesh, are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. See, souls aren't eternal. They die. This is the huge difference between Orthodox Christianity and what most people believe and what the scriptures teach. When a dog dies, a dog's dead. When I die, I'm dead. I'm asleep. I'm in the grave. I'm there until the resurrection. Go to Daniel chapter 12. Verse 2. Let's get there. Daniel 12, verse 2. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They're asleep. The dead are asleep. And the only time they're going to have consciousness again is at one or the other resurrection, the resurrection of the just, which is when our Lord returns, and you and I will be raised incorruptible. Or, those who didn't believe, there's another resurrection. It's called the resurrection of the unjust, the second resurrection. It's talked about in the book of Revelation. It says, and they get raised, but they're not immortal. They get raised, judged, and they die the second death. Then there's no existence. At second death, they're cast in the lake of fire. They die that way. But it's not for eternity. Even hell isn't eternal. Because remember, God says he destroys the devil and hell. Got to read the book. 1 Corinthians 15 again. See, Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he be dead, he shall live again. He didn't say, when you die, you're with me. And it's the difference between the truth and a lie. It's really the original lie that, you know, you'll be like gods. It's the original lie. So, you will not die. That's what, you know, this is part of the original lie that the devil gave to Adam and Eve. You won't die. You'll be just like him. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. He is the first fruit of those who have died. He's become the first one to get up. Now, if he's the first fruits, that means there's going to be following fruit, right? Mm-hmm. For since by one man came sin, came death, and by one man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. When is it that we get raised, that the resurrection takes place? When our Lord returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, and then calls out, and the dead in Christ rise first. Then the believers who are alive at that time, they go next. But the dead in Christ rise first. Then they which are alive and remain, they will be changed. And we meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. Not, and then once we meet him in the clouds, guess what happens? We come back with him from the clouds. We come back with him in 2 Thessalonians, taking vengeance on all those who didn't believe. And he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. I mean, look at Colossians chapter 1. Keep your finger in Corinthians if you want. But I think you can find it pretty easy. Colossians chapter 1. You remember when you first got a Bible and you didn't know where anything was? You guys are really advanced. Chapter 1, verse 18. I mean, you think about it compared to most folks. They don't even know what the books of the Bible, nothing. You know where you've worn out, I've worn out a number of different Bibles. And you can wear that on. Yeah. The battery. Just make sure there's not a power outage. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn from the dead. You know, this is what it means to be born again. You know, this is what it means at the resurrection, is when you are born again. Different teaching. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things. But he's the first one born. He's the first fruits. Colossians 3, verse 4. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. It's not glory when we die. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. It's not glory before the resurrection. But when the resurrection happens, you are going to appear with him in glory. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? I love Paul. Some guy out there is going to say, how are the dead raised up? I would have been one of them. No shame here. I would have been one of them. But, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking about Paul and his manner. You know, somebody out there is going to say, how are the dead raised up? Then he says to him, where 35, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. I love it. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Can you look at everything else in life? You know, it's one of the great truths I think of. I don't understand it all, but one of the great truths. Everything that you have in creation gives you how things are eternally. You know, it's like a leader in the church. God says, if you can handle your family, wife, children, you know, you act a certain way, you can be a leader in the church, right? I mean, being a father gives you training. Jesus uses in the parables, he uses a number of illustrations. All in everyday life, you know, little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, the parable of the tares, the parable of the wheat, all of it. This is how it is in life. This is how it really is. Giving and receiving. You know, you can't give. You can't just suck in all the time. You know, try it sometime. Just suck in air. Don't let any out. See how that works out. Everything is that you receive, you are to give. If you really receive, freely give. Everything works that way. Well, the resurrection is just like that. He says to these people, come on. It is sown. You take the seed. You sow it in the ground. That seed dies. And a beautiful, new, that doesn't resemble just the seed. You take one little kernel of corn, you stick it in the ground, you get this plant, you get these leaves, you get a thousand kernels back. This is how it works. You plant the body, you're not getting the same thing back. Thank God. All right? You plant, then it's going to be raised. What is it going to look? It's going to be glorious, like unto his body. He says, you fool. But you know what? I'm one of those. Because I wouldn't have put this together unless he says it. You know, and he does it back and forth. He does all this in Corinthians, and especially in Corinthians with these people. And they're just like us. I mean, he says it. He charges them one way. He gives them the argument. Oh, there's no resurrection. Well, then everything's for nothing. Then I'm a liar. This is how it is. It's like I said to you before. Go ahead. Trust me. Don't check it out for yourself. Bet your eternal life on what McCabe says. You fool. It's not made alive unless it dies. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall die, but bare grain, and it by chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed its own body. Everyone is different. God chose to do that. It's going to be the same thing with mankind. It's going to be the same thing. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. The body goes to the grave and it corrupts. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. You are going to have, remember Jesus Christ when he was raised from the dead? And then he shows up on the road to Emmaus, and then they eat, have communion. We're going to have communion in a little while. He had communion with them. He broke bread, and all of a sudden they realized who he is. And then, poof, he's gone. We're going to have a body like unto his. I don't know what this is. It sounds good. This is forever. This is forever. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There are natural bodies and there are spiritual bodies. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Nephesh. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. God raised him. It's a different kind of life. Adam had a soul life. God breathed into him the breath of life. Nephesh. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's made a life-quickening spirit. That's his resurrected body. We're going to have a body like unto his. We already got the living soul thing. Verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink. Yeah, it's like when you... I can't believe how quick my eye can blink to stop something that touches it. It's that quick. It's went that quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. See, just that verse alone would give everybody the clue that mortal man with breath life, soul life, doesn't have immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? No more. Never to die again. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is not for nothing. All your steadfastness, your resistance of temptation, your discipline to do the things of God and to hope in Him and what He has done, it's not in vain. It's going to be rewarded. You're going to get new minds, new bodies. You're going to know Him even as you are known, and He knows every hair on the top of your head. Your intimate relationship with Him you think you have now is going to explode in intimacy. I mean, I think it's great now, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. I can't imagine. See, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That's a verse. And people don't want to read this. It's incredible. It's incredible. We have so much. We've been blessed with so much. We've been given so much. You want to understand so that you have a rock solid faith in what's happening and what's coming. Because it's worth it. That's what I wanted to share with you on this Resurrection Sunday.